This is an ABC podcast.
But a champion becomes a legend. Makybe Never has won it.
Australia's hero has won the America's Cup.
It's time to go behind the scenes of a great sporting memory.
Shane Warne, he bowls, and Gatting is taken on the paddies. Bowls. Well, Gatting's still standing there. He can't believe it.
And Kieran Perkins, with 25 metres to go, is going to win a gold medal for Australia finally in the pool.
On the Grandstand Cafe, this is The Moment.
And it's going round the final bend. Mears comes to the line. Gold medal, Anna Mears. Magnificent.
The Moment.
On ABC Grandstand.
John Aloisi will go. John Aloisi to catapult Australia into the World Cup.
Here he goes, Aloisi. This for the dream realised. Aloisi, the pace is back. He moves in.
Yes!
Australia's done it! Australia's done it! Oh, yes! Australia Volker is reborn!
Unbelievable!
They have won the penalty shootout!
Undoubtedly one of the most talked about great moments of Australian sport, and the man at the heart of it joins us to talk about not only that moment, but the way that it's changed his life. John Aloisi, of course, great player, manager, has been involved in Australian football for a long time, but will be remembered no matter what he does for one moment. John, it's great to have a catch up with you. I want to know what number I am in the queue of people who have asked you to talk about that night.
Yeah, no, first of all, thanks for having me on. You know what? There was just over 80,000 people there at the game, but I think I've met 180,000 that said they were there. And the amount of people that have stopped me on the street to talk about that moment, but also where they were during that period. And it's look, I was fortunate enough to be part of it. It was such a great moment in history for football, because it took us so long to get back there. So it was a special night for everyone.
How's it changed your life?
Well, most people recognise me for that night. And, you know, in sport, you can be lucky that you're remembered for good things. You can also be remembered for not so good things. So it has changed my life in the sense that a lot of people remember that moment and want to speak to me about that moment. But, you know, in terms of I don't really look back at it and you know, think about it every day. I try and look forward and see, you know, how the game can progress and keep on developing, because, you know, we should want more than just that. We should want more than just qualifying for a World Cup. You know, we want to try and produce players that are good enough to actually compete at the highest level and really do well. So that's my focus at the moment, is trying to improve Australian football all the time.
And it seems like you're very humble in the way that there is such a huge element of fortune that befell at your feet that night. I mean, you just don't know what's going to get saved, what's going to miss, what's going to go in a penalty shootout, let alone the stakes that were there for that particular night. So are you at peace with the fact that as much as it was you that had to handle that pressure, it was just the card that you were dealt with?
Yeah, look, it's always a team effort no matter what. It's you know, and not only that team there, it's the teams that come before you, you know, that were so close but didn't end up making it. And so we're all part of it. But, you know, I understand that it fell for me that night. Look, you don't know what's going to happen. But I did ask to go number five, because I just had a special feeling that it was going to be the one to take the penalty, to score if you did, that you were going to go to the World Cup. But again, you don't know. You know, we didn't think that Schwartzel was going to make those two unbelievable saves, and Viduka just missed the penalty before me. So it happened to fall for me, and lucky enough, I wasn't too nervous, and I was able to put it in the back of the net.
Not too nervous. How could you not be?
Well, the good thing is I didn't think about it too much, because, look, the day before we practiced penalties. Each player had to take a penalty. But then after training, I stayed behind with Lucas Neal and practiced five penalties all down that end. So I was confident, because I practiced, not only five penalties, but all in the same corner. So I had my run-up worked out. I knew exactly what I wanted to do, and I knew if I hit it well, like I did the day before, we're going to go to the World Cup. So that's probably why, the nerves weren't there. I missed the penalty as a 14-year-old in the semi-final of a cup, and we got knocked out from my penalty miss. And I made sure from that day on that I was always going to be ready for, if it was a penalty or a moment in a game, that, that it's all down to you, that I'll be prepared for it.
Well, there you go, Uruguay. The scars of a teenage footballer have been partially responsible for John Aloisi ensuring Australia progressed and not Uruguay to the World Cup. The memories of the game, I'm sure you have many. Do you carry more so the football moments or the moment of the atmosphere of that night in your heart?
I think it's the moment of the whole atmosphere. And just, I was part of the two previous World Cup campaigns. So I got to experience the heartache as well, against Iran and against Uruguay 4 years earlier. And so just the sheer joy, the football moments, I can't remember too much about the game itself. Watching it, little bits and pieces back, you start to remember. But I just remember the celebrations after that, on the field. We just couldn't believe it. It felt like it was never going to happen. And for it finally to happen, there was joy, relief. It's too hard to explain. I think you could see my celebration, what it meant to not only me, but what it meant to everyone that was involved.
I think the story obviously is contextualised by the heartache. So perhaps if you could share that personal experience of Iran, just to give us one little chapter of why that was such a jubilant night in 2006, because I think Iran at the MCG is among a number of heartbreaking moments. The draw from 2-0 up, I remember being a young man and out at an establishment watching that game, and I literally fell off my chair when that second goal went in.
Yeah, it was the heartbreak was it was probably the worst feeling I've ever had in football, in terms of, look, you have your injuries, you have your losses, and I've even been involved with relegation battles and got relegated, also stayed up. But that night there, because we were so dominant, I was on the bench, and I remember we were winning 2-0, but it could have been 6-7. That's how dominant we were. It was one of our best performances, and you just couldn't see them getting back into the game, Iran. And we all know the infamous pulling down of the net and 15-20 minutes stoppage in the game. It actually killed our momentum quite a bit.
That was the intruder you talk about.
Yes, the intruder that came on the pitch. I won't even mention his name; doesn't deserve mention. But when we after that, out of nowhere, they had two chances, scored two goals, and we were out, without losing a game. So it was, I remember going back into the changing room and there were people crying, players that played crying, players that didn't play crying, because that was an opportunity missed. And we thought that we might not get such a good opportunity ever again.
Yeah, and I think it was a part of the build up to that night. So everyone knew it. How did you handle it?
You don't remember the past. Oh, well, you do remember, but you don't actually. You try and block that out. The thing is, we were just confident. We felt that we're all playing at a pretty high level over in Europe, and we felt as a team that it was the best shape we've been in. We had a very experienced coach in Gus Hiddink that gave us that belief as well. So we had a feel. I think that also because we're going, if we qualify, back to Germany. And the previous time we did qualify was in Germany in 74. So we just thought all the stars were aligning, and that's the belief we had. We thought we're going to get through. We didn't know how, but we had that feeling that it was going to be our night, and we're going to go back to a World Cup again.
John Aloisi is with us on The Moment, retelling that amazing night at the Olympic Stadium where Australia qualified for the 2006 Football World Cup. Now, obviously, that's just a part of the job, and Germany was fantastic for you. But I'd love to know how the group was able to celebrate what it had achieved, yet at the same time realise that, well, really, you've just achieved a ticket to the dance.
Yeah, well, it was funny because the World Cup didn't come around until quite a bit later. But, you know, we were just, we weren't happy just to be at the World Cup. We always felt that if we did qualify for a World Cup that we could actually do well. And that was, you know, the focus leading into the tournament. We worked extremely hard under Gus for the 3-4 weeks leading into the World Cup. And so we just felt that we were at the top of our game. Fitness-wise, we're going to be fitter than everyone else. And we knew that first game against Japan was probably our World Cup final in terms of, you know, if we win that one, we've got a great opportunity getting through the group. And, you know, it wasn't going to plan for a long period of that game. But when you think about the Uruguay night, the Japan game was probably just as amazing because, you know, it was 7 minutes to go, 1-0 down. Thinking, you know, all this, all these years of waiting, and we're going to get knocked out virtually the first round of the World Cup. But it changed pretty quickly with the two goals from Timmy, and then I was on the pitch to score the third one, so which was a good feeling as well.
Yep, you were there again, John. But surely there had to be an element of release after the qualification. Do you remember how you were able to celebrate that? Because it had to be celebrated. The achievement of just getting there was a part of that story.
Yeah, look, when we qualified, we celebrated that night, of course, in the change room. John Travolta came in and everyone was singing Grease Lightning songs, and that was a thrill in itself. But then everyone just left the next day to go back to their clubs or go visit their family, and we didn't really have a great opportunity to celebrate because it was back to business in terms of playing for your club. And then you had to quickly focus on your club football, but making sure that you're going to play and play regularly and play well. So you were selected for the World Cup. So as an athlete, you get to celebrate very little, but we did enjoy the night. That was for sure.
Yeah, and you spoke about the goal that you scored in Kaiserslautern. As much as many will forget that in a general sense, football fans know, sports fans know, but were you more proud of scoring in a World Cup finals match than that penalty which got you there?
Yeah, I was because, you know, it was a goal in open play, obviously, and plus it was well part of that team to win our first World Cup game for Australia, and it was a dream of mine to not only play in a World Cup but to score in a World Cup, because as a striker, you know, you just love scoring goals. It's part of your DNA, and so to actually score a goal in a World Cup, it was that was probably the proudest moment I've ever had. Is you know, at the time you're enjoying it, but you know, when you retire and that the World Cup was the biggest highlight of my career.
Yeah, John Aloisi with us on The Moment. Well, you spoke about John Travolta and the celebrations of him being in there. You've seen it back so many times. You're happy enough with the way that you come across? I mean, it's just pure jubilation. I mean, and we know that footballers rip off their shirts, and as a young man, why not? You're fit. But I just wonder, when you look at that now, are you immune to all the little parts of self-analysis?
Look, it's a bit embarrassing when I see it back and I see me rip off my shirt.
Why is it embarrassing? I mean, everyone just felt that way.
Well, that's the thing. I felt that way, and I'm sure the rest of the people watching, whether at home at a pub with their mates or at the stadium, felt the same way as I did. And you know, that was definitely not planned, but because we're just you know, is something that I saw when I was growing up in the old National Soccer League. There was a player who played for Sydney Olympic. He scored an important goal and he ripped off his shirt. And so I used to do it in the backyard when I was playing with my brother, you know. And I think that just came to me in terms of what I used to do as a kid. But the direction I was running in was always going to be the direction I would run in, because that's where my family were sitting, and I knew the day before where their tickets were, so I was going to go celebrate with them.
And did you find them?
Look, I know I stopped in the right area, but I could not see anyone that I recognised, because there were just people jumping on each other and hugging each other. And, you know, the stories you get from that night, they say, you know, they were hugging complete strangers, and it didn't feel unnatural. It just felt natural that everyone was just so happy.
Could you hear the noise before the kick? And what did you hear after?
I couldn't hear any noise. When I was walking up to the penalty spot, it was, you know, people talk about being in the zone, and that was, I think, what it was for me, because so I was walking to the halfway line, penalty spot. It's not a short walk, but all I could hear was sort of murmurs in the crowd. You know, there was no real noise. It was just, you know, is this it? If we score, we go into the World Cup. And, you know, which it seems strange that that's what I was hearing, but... But
you knew the scenario, of course.
I knew the scenario, yeah. I was saying to myself, do exactly what you did the day before at training, and we're going to the World Cup. And that was my focus and what I was, you know, trying to concentrate on. And then when I hit the ball, I remember that I struck it really well, because my head was over the ball, body over the ball. I didn't want to lean back too much or else it would go too high and could go over the bar. And as I struck it, I felt, oh, I've struck this nicely. And I just look up. And as I look up, I just see the ball going into the net. But there's a half a second delay before everyone else can see it go into the net. And so I'm starting to run off with my hand in the air, but still unsure, because I haven't heard any noise. And then you see the net ripple. And then all of a sudden, there's this loud noise, and I knew it was in. And that's when my face sort of changed. The scary feeling of not scoring went to a jubilation feeling.
And was it, I just, instinct took over, obviously, but people tell me, I wasn't there that night, but you can hear it in the recordings, you can see it in the replays, and people who have been to lots of big events, I mean, that is the stadium where Cathy Freeman won her gold medal in 2000, and the noise of that night, but people tell me it was never, never as loud as that noise that night.
Yeah, look, I don't know what other games were like or other experiences in that stadium was like. But, you know, speaking to teammates and players that were playing there that night and they played at the biggest level and the highest level all over the world, they can't remember a noise that loud when the ball went in the back of the net. It was something that, you know, will live with me, because it was just, the noise just took off. And it stayed there for a while, actually.
Yeah, didn't it? What? John Aloisi with us on the Grandstand Cafe. What's the most unique little anecdote that has come into your life, be it a meeting with someone somewhere in the world where you've been recognised, that this moment has sort of given you in your life? I'm wondering, for someone who's told this story so many times and has been... so well recognised in our country, has it permeated beyond, and have you got a story that encapsulates it?
Most Australians obviously that were around in that period remember it. And you know, I'm in New York just over a year ago, and you know, getting stopped on the street by an Australian wanting to talk to me about that penalty that's in New York. But I remember soon after the penalty, when I was going back to Spain, the amount of people in Spain that were watching it, because it was on at a good time, and everyone was talking about it, and especially when I was playing against Argentinian players and Brazilian players, they were probably more happy than what we were, because they hated the Uruguayans, so yep. They were excited about that.
Does it ever feel like a burden to keep talking about it?
No. I feel fortunate and lucky that, you know, that people want to talk to me about a moment that makes them happy. And, you know, I know how much it made not only myself, but the players that were involved happy. And so for people to stop and you know, bring up that moment, there was, they say, one of the best moments that they had, and they weren't even playing, you know, what a great feeling that is. And, you know, I'm just happy people are talking about the game, because, you know, I love the game, being passionate about it all my life. And if, you know, people want to talk about that, I'm more than happy to.
And to finish with, it must, I'd love to know how this settles in your heart when you think of, well, the podium of the three biggest moments of recent times in Australian sporting history, and it's arguable, but you'd have to say it's Cathy Freeman's win in the Sydney Olympics, it's Mekhi Diva's third Melbourne Cup, and your left boot in 2006.
Yeah, oh, look, the people do say that, and I have read it and heard it, but the difference between myself, Cathy Freeman, Mekhi Diva, you know, they deserve all the credit. With my penalty, it was part of a team, and not only a team, whoever's followed football, played for the national team, you know, I was part of that. It's not an individual thing. That's why it's a team sport. So, yeah, they might mention the penalty, but I think it was just the whole, you know, you spoke about the culmination of failed attempts to get to a World Cup, and that's why it was so special. You know, I'm not going to compare myself to any individual, especially someone like Cathy Freeman that was a world champion.
Great to catch up with you, John. Thanks for the story of that unforgettable time. Nice to have you with us on the Grandstand Cafe.
Thanks for having me on.
This is an ABC podcast.